This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
It's Tuesday the 16th of April. In your Squiz today, Lerman's day in court, an inquiry into the Bondi attack, Israel calls for Iranian sanctions, and making some super animals. This is your Squiz today. Claire, one of Australia's most dramatic defamation cases wrapped up yesterday. I'm talking, of course, about former Liberal staffer Bruce Lerman's case against Network 10 and presenter Lisa Wilkinson. It was an attempt by Lerman to restore his reputation and seek damages after they aired an interview with his former colleague, Brittany Higgins, on the project in 2021. But yesterday, Lerman lost that case.
Yeah, and that's after Justice Michael Lee found that on the balance of probabilities, Lerman raped Higgins in Parliament House in 2019. In his summary judgment, which took more than 2 hours to read, it was really on the edge of your seat stuff on television yesterday, Lee said that Lerman told deliberate lies while giving evidence, and also that it was likely that he was so intent, this is the quote, that he was so intent upon gratification that he was indifferent to the question of consent from Higgins. This is a civil case, so it doesn't carry anything like the ramifications of a criminal case. But the reason Lee's findings are significant is because Lerman's criminal trial was aborted and he's never had a finding against him.
And Claire, you mentioned that the summary judgment took Lee 2 hours to read. The full thing is actually 324 pages all up, so very long. And although his main finding goes against Lerman, he also delivered some damning assessments of the evidence other witnesses gave in the case.
Let's start with Brittany Higgins. What Lee said is that she selectively curated material on her phone before handing it to the police. Lee also found that Lisa Wilkinson lacked candour in the witness box and that she should have known that her Logie speech was fraught with danger. One person who was singled out for some praise was Fiona Brown. She's the former chief of staff to former Minister Linda Reynolds. Of course, they are the people who were Higgins and Lerman's employers at the time. Lee said that he unhesitatingly preferred Fiona Brown's evidence about that time in Parliament House in 2019 to that of Higgins or of Lerman.
And Claire, as for what's next, Justice Lee still has to decide costs, and there's also the possibility that Lerman might launch an appeal. There are also a dozen or so legal cases or inquiries related to this that still have to play out. One of those is Senator Reynolds suing Higgins and her partner, David Shiraz, in the Western Australian Supreme Court. So this is far from the last time that we'll speak about this. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns has launched an immediate inquiry after the killing of 6 people in Saturday's stabbing attack at Bondi Junction's Westfield Shopping Centre. He's allocated $18 million for that to the state's coroner's office, Claire.
Yeah, that goes to the complexity of that inquiry. Also, there are a lot of questions to be answered. And yesterday, police confirmed that one of those questions is whether the attacker, who of course was 40-year-old Joel Couchy, whether he was deliberately targeting women in that stabbing attack. Couchy's parents, Andrew and Michelle, spoke to the media yesterday. They say that they're devastated by what happened and they described their son as a very sick boy. They said he was obviously not in his right mind.
And Claire, there's been another stabbing incident in Sydney. Last night, 2 religious leaders at the Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Wakeley in Sydney's West and 2 others were stabbed during a service that was being live streamed. Police have arrested a 15-year-old and officers were forced to barricade themselves inside the church after the crowd outside turned violent, smashing police cars and throwing bottles. Reports say 2 police officers were hospitalised, one with a broken jaw. Israel's United Nations representative, Gilad Erdan, has demanded new sanctions be placed on Iran after its weekend attack on Israel. He made those comments, Claire, at an emergency UN Security Council meeting yesterday.
Yeah, so that was called after Iran fired hundreds of drones and missiles at Israel in retaliation for a deadly strike on its embassy in Syria a fortnight ago. For his part, Iran's United Nations envoy, Amir Sayed Iravani, he hit back against that. He said that the strikes were Iran's inherent right to self-defense, also that the country doesn't seek an escalation or a war.
All of that led to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warning that both nations should be working towards peace. He said that it's time to step back from the brink. With international travel bouncing back after the pandemic, the issue of sustainable tourism has come up in Europe, which is the most visited region in the world. In fact, last year, Claire, it reached 94% of its 2019 tourism figures, and tourist hotspots are getting ready for what might come again this northern summer.
Yeah, and an influx of people can be a very good thing for locals and for the economy, but the arrival of private tours at Athens' ancient Acropolis, which are costing more than 8,000 Australian dollars, about 5,000 euros. That's horrified some locals and tourists alike. Alice, just as a side point, the Acropolis was basically the first place I visited as an adult when I flew out of the country. So there you go. The local culture ministry there says the tickets are part of an overhaul to better manage crowds, but the critics say that it's elitist.
Yeah, archaeologists have also chipped in on this. They reckon people will feel entitled if they've spent that sort of money to do whatever they want at the site. But looking at Aussies' plans over our winter, tourism operators here say that they've seen a drop-off in European bookings as we opt for cheaper holidays. So bring on a caravan at the coast, I say, Claire. That could be your next holiday.
Yeah, way more fun than the Acropolis, I'm sure.
Aussie researchers are getting creative to protect our wildlife from extinction. They're now using a very scientific-sounding process, Claire. It's called assisted evolution.
And before you start ringing the Frankenstein bell, I think it's good to know that nearly half of our birds and about 90% of our mammals, reptiles and frogs are found nowhere else on Earth. So that's why they're really diving into this. The researchers are using techniques like crossbreeding and also gene editing. They're trying to tweak the genomes of vulnerable animals to give them some traits that they need to survive. As you can imagine, it's kicked off a pretty big debate. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Dan Harley from Zoos Victoria says, and this is the quote, preventing more extinctions will require human intervention, innovation, and effort.
Claire, I reckon some of the animals that could do with some tweaking are migrating birds. Apparently, over in Texas, they're having to turn skyscrapers' lights off at night to prevent mass bird deaths, but they are having some luck with that. It's led to a 60% decrease in bird mortality there.
Yep, still a lot of birds that are smashing into buildings, but it's got to be better than nothing, I guess.
Quiz the day, Claire. We'll be hearing from the bosses of Coles and Woolies today.
Yeah, we will. That's a part of the Senate inquiry into supermarket prices, and reckon we can expect some headlines on that today. Also, the Bureau of Stats is releasing a report on how Australians use their time. It's from 2020 to 2021. I'm thinking a lot of people in that time were at home locked down, but you never know what that report will look like. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we might also pick that one up tomorrow. And that's it for us today. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
Hi there. It's Bryce Corbett here from Squiz Kids. It's been a big couple of weeks for news, and one thing that's emerged is the increasingly concerning role that mis- and disinformation are playing in the wake of big news events. It's why there's never been a more important time for our kids to be taught to be critical consumers of media. It's also why we created NewsHounds, a fun 8-part podcast series with accompanying classroom workbook to teach primary school kids how to spot misinformation when they come across it online. It's already being used in over 2,000 classrooms around the country. To make sure the kids in your life are among them, get their teacher to head to squizkids.com.au and sign up for a free account. You're very welcome.